Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back today with my friend Andrew Kern from the Searcy Institute, and we are having a great conversation. I'm not even going to try to wrap it all up because you just got to go listen to it. If you missed Monday's and yesterday's episodes, go back and listen to them. You will be so encouraged. And ultimately, I can wrap it up this way. Ultimately, what we've talked about this week and what we are talking about is that the most important thing is that our kids love Jesus. And you know that that is the whole purpose of the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry, is helping you and equipping you as parents and ourselves. We're still parents too. We're still parenting. Equipping us to point our kids to Jesus so that they will know Jesus and love him and live out his purpose in their lives. It matters more than anything, which is why we talk about this so often on the podcast. Nothing else matters. Now, we can use all of these things. We can use curriculum, which we're going to talk about today. We can use all of these things to point our kids to Christ. Ultimately, the most important thing is that when they come face to face with him, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And it is such a privilege that we have as their parents to be able to lead them to Jesus. So we're going to continue talking about that. But before we do, I want to say thank you again to our sponsor, BJU Press Homeschool. If you are looking for a textbook style curriculum, which many of you love, I know, and they also have video-based curriculum. That's fun. We've been in their facility where they film all their videos. And so I love the way that they do that. And they will teach your kids for you. Check them out at bjupresshomeschool.com, and they really will encourage a love for learning in your child and help them develop a strong biblical worldview. So check them out, bjupresshomeschool.com. Well, Andrew, welcome back to the podcast. Let's talk about curriculum for a little bit, because I know you said you don't even like the word curriculum.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about that, because what's kind of funny and ironic about that is the Searcy Institute develops and publishes curriculum. So yeah.
We develop what we call curricular resources.
But yeah.
Let me explain very briefly why I don't like the word. And it's because it's a word that came up in the late 16th, early 17th century, just as the world was shifting from cosmos to chaos, and therefore was imposing methods and order on everything. And the world has become increasingly obsessed with methodology and technique instead of alignment with, instead of harmony, instead of alignment with the love of God. It's survival techniques, right? And so when that becomes the mode of thinking, it leads to increased chaos. It is the whole Western world absorbing anxiety and survival as the way of and goal of thinking. And it just led to chaos. So curriculum, actually, it is an ancient word, curriculum. It means little circle, little course. And it was actually used for what we would today call the pacing car in an Indy 500. You know, what they would do is a little chariot. That's what it means, is little chariot. A little chariot would go out in front of the horses in the hippodrome where the horses would have their races and would lead around. That's the original definition of the word. And sometimes it was used, although I don't know of it ever being applied to education prior to a guy named Peter Ramus, but sometimes in the ancient world, it was used to describe a whole course. So if we are just saying this is the course that our children need to go on, I mean, I can live with it. I'm not an either or kind of guy who needs to fight about everything, but but I don't like simply saying there's this scope and sequence that we have to develop based on nothing, based on expectations from the world around us, based on the need to impose order and chaos, and then that's the curriculum. What I want is what used to be called, well, believe it or not, our word encyclopedia actually comes from the ancient term for what they taught, which was the encuclios, encyclo, paideia, pedia. Encuclios paideia, what's that mean? Cycle of learning. Okay, and paideia is a big concept. It's the idea, it means education, but it also means culture. It means taking care of children, right? The pedagogue took care of children. And so the encuclios paideia is the cycle of learning that they need to experience. It's a journey that a child goes on. It's not just content. It's not just information. It's a journey that a child goes on. And the teacher's role, classroom or home, the teacher's role is to equip them for that journey and to guide them on that journey as long as they're able. And so that changes the question of, well, then what should I teach? Because under a curriculum, what you teach is whatever the textbook tells you to teach. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're a slave to the textbook publishing company, and your child is a slave even further down the list. Instead, we should be giving them, again, I love Charlotte Mason, and she talked about living books, right? We should be giving them resources that are a banquet that feed and nourish their soul. Okay, and I want to just make this point as vividly as I can. What we're trying to do is cultivate wisdom and virtue in our children, because that's what they need, not grades. And so what will cultivate, what will nourish their souls? The true, the good, and the beautiful. Or if you like, expand it like Paul did in Philippians 4:8. Whatever's true, whatever's noble, whatever's just, whatever's good, whatever's of good report, and so on. That's the curriculum. Now, I do want to say that you should divide your thinking about curriculum into three areas. This is very helpful. There's, let's say, for convenience, that there's the wisdom area, there's the virtue area, and there's the knowledge area. Okay. What I mean here is wisdom, at least for this exercise, wisdom is ideas, concepts that you're going to have your children think about. Okay, justice, freedom. Truth, goodness, beauty. Those are things that you always want them thinking about. Mm-hmm. Okay? You always want to present to them. The second thing is virtues. And a virtue is a skill, a God-given faculty that has been refined through practice. In Hebrews 5, he says, you haven't yet had your senses trained to discern good and evil. Okay, that's what we're saying. And good and evil isn't only moral. It's also artistic and even physical. It would be a good thing to not step in a hole, right? You will experience evil if you step in the hole, right? That's the biblical conception of good and evil. It includes the moral, but isn't limited to it. So we have to train the senses to discern good and evil, the physical senses, the moral senses, and the intellectual senses. Okay, that's what I mean by virtues. And so what you need to ask yourself is, what tools and instruments and organs and resources can I use to help cultivate wisdom and virtue, to help discipline their skills, faculties into habits, and to help contemplate ideas that they will then come to understand better? And here I would say there's two words that can guide you. I could give you a list of books if you wanted it, but that's really not the best thing here. I want to give you two words that I would encourage you to always be teaching your child, and then find whatever. Well, let me put it this way. No matter what you use, use it to teach these two things. One is deliberation. Mm-hmm. The second is a sense of proportion.
Okay. Explain that.
Now that might sound really whacked. A sense of proportion. What are you talking about?
I'm like, you're going to have to explain that.
Well, what I would say is that's because you want to deliberate. Because I put things in a disproportionate way. So here's
fair
what
enough.
I mean. By deliberation, I mean, what? Let's say you're reading a novel, or you're reading Homer, or you're reading poetry, or you're reading a Bible story, right? You don't do it so, or Aesop's fables, right? You don't do it so that at the end of the discussion, they give you the right answer. Mm. You do it so that you can discuss. Mm-hmm. What should the ants do? Should they feed the grasshopper or not? What should the Chicken Little do? Should she follow the fox into his lair or not? Right? What should Anna Karenina do? Should she jump under the train? What should Oblonsky do? Should he drive the horse that hard? Right? Every episode in a story turns around a person doing something for a reason. And therefore, every single one of them is intended by the author to create the act of deliberation in you, the reader. So pick the best books, because what they're the best at is giving you resources for deliberation. You're going to have to think hard. And then what will happen is, as you deliberate, you will come to understand how literature works and how history works. I mean, say history is especially deliberative. Should Churchill have bombed Berlin? Right? There's a great question. Should Caesar have crossed the Rubicon? Should Moses have crossed the Red Sea? Should, you can do all world history with river crossings. Easy. Should Washington across the Delaware, right? You ask those questions, and now you're deliberating, and you're learning something way more important than the content of the book. You're learning how to deliberate. And because you're deliberating, the book is more interesting. So you're learning the content of the book better. Mm-hmm. And you're going to remember it because next book you read, you can say, well, if that's what they did in Anna Karenina, what did they do in War and Peace? And which one was better? Mm. Right? So now you're connecting, you're weaving a tapestry.
Yeah.
Now, a sense of proportion then, what I mean by that is, we can start with that being a mathematical concept. Mm-hmm. Why do we teach them arithmetic and geometry and music and astronomy? Why do we teach them mathematical subjects? Because it teaches them a sense of proportion. Sure. And actually, they are thinking in terms of proportion now. Mm-hmm. But they're going beyond thinking when they get to music. The main thing music does is it teaches you a sense of proportion. How far up should this note go? How far down? How in every sense. A chord is a proportion, right? It is a relationship between notes.
Yeah.
And a sense of proportion, notice I use the word sense. A sense of proportion goes beyond knowing what is mathematically proportionate to feeling what is proportionate in a moment. Mm-hmm. And so when we lose our sense of proportion, we overreact. Our society has lost two things, the ability to deliberate and a sense of proportion. We overreact to everything. We don't know how to listen to the opposing side. We don't know right. how to see the truth that's in the opposing side, the legitimate claims, yeah. because we don't have a sense of proportion. We only have a sense of opposition as a culture. Yeah. And we Christians are like this too, by the way. I'm not pointing at the world around. We Christians tend to approach life oppositionally. Mm-hmm. Okay? But that's not the world God made. God made a world that is proportionate. It's harmonious. It's beautiful. And we can deliberate on how to plant trees in the garden, on how to plant seeds in the garden. And by doing so, we improve, we cultivate our sense of proportion. Yeah. And in a certain sense, I would go so far as to say that wisdom is a sense of proportion gained through deliberation.
Yeah.
So no matter what books you use, even if you use a textbook, which I don't recommend very often, even if you use a textbook, you deliberate about it. Don't yeah. just ask the questions the textbook is asking. That's just sure. super bad reading. Deliberate about it. And then cultivate that feeling for a right degree of proportion, a right sensitivity to life. Sometimes yeah. think about it. Like in arithmetic and geometry mm-hmm. and calculus and algebra. Sometimes think about proportion, but always be cultivating it and make it second nature that you always have a more refined sense of proportion.
Yeah.
Okay, now, I'm worried that those are so general and so universally applicable that they won't seem practical. But what I'm trying to say is, well, let me put it this way. Practical tends to mean, how can I solve this problem? Mm-hmm. But that's the wrong question most of the time because life doesn't offer very many soluble problems.
Yeah.
The real question we should be asking is, how can I resolve this discord? Mm. Yeah. And that's a proportion question.
Sure.
How can I bring peace to my community? How can I bring peace to my mind? How can I bring peace to my family? That involves right feelings toward other people, but it also involves right thinking.
Yeah.
You can't bring peace if your mind is chaotic. And so that's the purpose of education and that's the purpose of the curriculum. Choose the best. Choose the beautiful, the true, the good. Choose the most artistic because it has the most wisdom in it. Yeah. And it's the most proportionate. Right? Look at any painting.
Yeah.
The best paintings, it's proportion that's one of the things that makes it so rich and perfect.
Right.
But there's proportion within the painting,
right.
and then there's proportion beyond the painting into the world around the painting.
Yeah.
Same with poetry. Same with a good line, a good verse, a good piece of poetry. Same with a song. It's mm-hmm. all about that sense of proportion.
Yeah.
And don't be oppositional. Be deliberative and look for the wisdom that's there.
Right.
And embrace it and cultivate. A sense of proportion is a life's project, but always, always keep cultivating that sense of proportion.
Yeah, and it circles back to order as well. Because again, yes. when you look at a painting, if it's proportionate and well-ordered, it makes right. for a good painting. If I
right.
hate going into art museums sometimes, I love art museums. I hate going into art museums that have bad art.
Yeah.
And they call it good art. And I'll look at it and I'm like, that's absolute garbage. Like, who called that? Who said that was good? You know, and of course, sometimes it's just my own opinion. whether I like it or don't. But oftentimes it's the art that is ordered, that is well ordered, that is the most beautiful. And that's because God is well ordered and he made a beautiful world for us. And so we are so grateful to get to enjoy his creation in this way.
Right. And I just want to say very quickly, the order that God gives is a harmonious order, not a dictatorial order. Mm. And harmonious means it's dynamic. Yeah. It changes over time, but it doesn't lose its sense of proportion.
Yeah.
Right. St. Augustine defined music as the art of modulating well. And that might be wisdom right there. I think about, I'll just end with this. I think about this in relation to my own children. When my child was two, my goal as a father was to be in harmony with them. Mm-hmm. And so I had to adapt myself. I didn't have to surrender myself. I had to adapt myself to my child through deliberation, through careful thought. But if I stayed at that moment while my child grew, and I was fixed and I was absolute and everything had to fit the way I thought when he was two and the way he thought when he was two, it wouldn't have been good.
Right.
And so we have this intuitive sense that we have to adapt, we have to modulate.
Yeah.
But what guides the modulation is a feeling for proportion.
Yeah.
And sometimes careful, rational thinking about things so that we don't make dumb mistakes. That's when we deliberate. But if you focus all your energy on deliberation and a sense of proportion, rooted in Christ the Logos, then that's the curriculum you need. And that's the mode of teaching that we talked about the other day of incarnating the Logos, right? And that will enable you to assess, because what's assessment? It's how is my child doing on this scale? What are the proportions,
right?
The assessment has to be proportionate to the activity. Yeah. And if you spend, literally, if you spend 1 minute a day for the rest of the year, for 2 years, just have 1 minute a day where you specifically think about deliberation and 1 minute a day where you specifically think about proportion, then you will gain so much wisdom. And by the way, I don't know what that is, but my stupid computer every now and again pops those thumbs up, makes it look like I'm liking my own statement. And that's not what's going on here.
I can actually tell you how to turn that off when we're done.
It creates a disproportionate response in me. So I would like to know.
I'm sure. I will let you know. Let's take a break. We'll be right back. Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Are you looking for a homeschool curriculum that goes beyond textbooks and truly engages your children in the joy of learning? Apologia's award-winning curriculum is written by homeschool parents to specifically meet your needs and captivate your students with hands-on activities and experiments that make learning unforgettable. With an easy-to-follow, open-and-go format, Apologia takes the stress out of planning and provides a simple roadmap that can easily be tailored to your family's needs. Explore live classes or self-paced courses designed to accommodate every student's unique learning style. Elevate your child's education, spark their curiosity, and nurture a lifelong love for learning with Apologia. Discover Apologia today at apologia.com. We are back with Andrew. All right, we have just a few minutes left. This has been such a great conversation, and I know that you have tons of resources. I am not going to call it curriculum. You have lots of resources to help homeschool families to bring order into their homeschool world. Talk about Circe. I know you do lots of teacher training, which I think is fantastic. Just give us an overview really quickly of what Circe does and what you have to offer.
Yeah, the best thing in my opinion that we have to offer is our teacher apprenticeship. And when I say teacher, I'm including homeschoolers in that.
Yeah.
Most probably half or more of the people who have graduated in the last 15 years have been homeschool moms. And it's the most important thing we do. And that's a mentorship, an apprenticeship program in teaching, a 3-year program. And then we also have consulting for schools. And we have a conference. Anybody who is anywhere near Charleston, our summer conference for 24 is already filled. But we're having a youth conference this year. So if you're anywhere close to Charleston, we would love to have your teenage kids attend. And that's in the middle of July. So we have that conference. We also do have resources. We have the Lost Tools of Writing is our, you could call it a writing curriculum, a curricular resource, a program. It's a coaching in how to write. I recently heard somebody say it's a teacher training program. Which was really interesting to hear. So if you're looking for a textbook that tells that scripts what you say and you don't have to think, you don't want this. But if you want to learn how to teach and write while you're teaching your children how to write, you'll find this really, truly valuable. It's called The Lost Tools of Writing. We also have regional conferences. We have seasonal conferences. We have what we call an atrium. I'll be doing it's a 9-month online class.
Okay.
That we have 5 or 6 of them. I will be doing one this fall on pedagogy, on how to teach.
Okay.
And so if this seemed very abstract and hard, you know, disconnected or whatever, too general, we'll go into nitty gritty detail in there. I hope we're going to actually have some practice lessons that get reviewed. That doesn't mean everybody will have to do them. That would be the apprenticeship. But in the atrium, I'm going to talk about how to teach in the form of Christ. And we'll have, as of now, seats are still available. So love to see people in there.
Yeah.
And we have classes for kids too. We have an online academy.
Okay.
Primarily in writing. And we also have intensives that are 6-week adult training, shorter than the atrium, which is the 9 months. We have 6-week ones called intensives, and those rotate through. And we have webinars, and those are one session. And those rotate through too. So I hope people will, we have an army of teachers, all of whom are CIRSE certified teachers.
Yeah.
They've been through the apprenticeship. And I hope people will find some of what we do that valuable in there.
Yeah. And you have a podcast as well, right?
Ask Andrew. Yeah. We do 15 or 20 minute sessions. It's being refreshed now. So if people have not heard the previous sessions, they're all still available. And I'll be starting it up again pretty soon.
Okay. All right. Awesome. We will put all those links in the show notes. Let me ask you one more last question. Do you have a book list? You mentioned earlier, you know, we can't get into all the books, but do you have a good book list on your website that you recommend?
Do you mean for teachers or for students?
For students.
Homer and the Bible are the only things that everybody absolutely has to read.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, I think that any classic literature text list would be great. You know, if a book was written in Latin and Greek and we still have it, that would be on our list. We don't have our own list, although we've been talking about it lately, but there's so many lists out there. The biggest worry I have about lists is people feel like they have to read everything.
Right.
And you don't. I can't emphasize it. It's not the content.
Right.
It's the ideas and the skills.
Yeah.
And if you try to learn a lot of content, you won't learn the ideas and skills.
Yeah.
You won't gain the wisdom and virtue. You'll just become anxious about the content.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you a funny story. Missy and Adam Andrews I've had them both on the podcast. And the last time Adam was on, he was talking about Homer as well. And shortly after that, and I think Missy talked about it too, I went to a used bookstore and I found a book of Homer. And I was like, I'm going to get it. And it's still sitting on my shelf. I have not had the guts to pick it up yet.
The guts.
But I'm going to one of these days.
Oh man. Just,
yeah. I don't know. I don't know why I'm afraid to pick it
is
up.
Is it the Iliad or the Odyssey?
It's both together. Oh, okay. It's a thick book.
Yeah. That's why.
And I think that's why it's so intimidating because it's so
a smaller one.
It's so, I know it's just so big. I want like the,
still get a little paperback.
Right.
What you want,
I shouldn't have picked up such a big one.
This is what you should do. You should go to a bookstore, Barnes and Noble or whatever, go to a bookstore and find the Iliad or the Odyssey that looks good to you. Okay. And then grab 3 or 4 or 5 of them, different translations, and put them on the table and take and read one page in each of them. And whichever one you like the best, that's what you should get. If you got a big one, it's probably one of those 19th century Victorian style ones.
Yeah.
It'll be written for a different era.
Old and big and intimidating.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go get yourself a little paperback.
Okay. Good to know. I will do that.
And then
I'm determined to read it at some point. I don't know. Which one first?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. I'll just pick one. I'll see. Yeah. I'll let you know once I do. Yeah. So anyway, Andrew, thank you so much for being with me this week. It has been such a pleasure chatting with you. Again, if you guys have not seen the movie Schoolhouse Rocked, The Homeschool Revolution, Andrew is in it along with so many others. God provided the most amazing cast for that movie. And we are so grateful for Andrew's part in that. He just shares so much wisdom about teaching from rest. I mean, that's really what it's kind of funny because he and Sarah McKenzie kind of bounce back and forth in the movie in regards to teaching from rest. And so it is great. So if you've not seen it, you can stream it for free, schoolhouserocked.com. You can find everything else on our website as well. And stay tuned to the very end to hear what's coming up next week on the podcast. We love you guys. Thank you for being with us. We will put all these links in the show notes to make it easy for you. Have a great rest of your day, and we will see you back here on Monday. Bye. As parents, our greatest hope is that our kids will grow up to be followers of Jesus Christ and live out God's call on their lives. But you also know the world makes it challenging to follow Christ faithfully. That's why I'm so excited about Summit Ministries. Their student conferences give teens and young adults reasons to trust the biblical foundation you've laid for them. Our oldest daughter, Brooklyn, is super excited to go this summer. And if you have a child ages 16 to 22, they can attend a Summit Ministries student conference this summer as well. Get a $200 discount on their in-person conference by using code SCHOOLHOUSE24 at checkout. And receive an additional $200 off with their early bird discount when you register by March 31st. Visit summit.org/schoolhouse to learn more. That's summit.org/schoolhouse.
We all would really love to be able to draw real clear lines. And when it comes to our kids struggling and suffering, or our friends, or our spouses, or ourselves, we'd really like to have that. That seems like it would make it easy. If I could just draw a line and say, are you on this side of the line or that side of the line? This side is the depression line, that side's the anxiety line. If you're on this side, do this and this and this, read this, go here, and everything will be fine. If you're on this side, read this and do this and think this, and everything will be fine. But the real challenge that we all know when we're honest about it is, it just doesn't work that way. You know, the Bible's really clear. Jesus said in the Gospels that from the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, at that time, there were legalists, Pharisees around who were really concerned about what they put into their mouths, the fear that it would defile them. And Jesus turns that around and says, it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth, and it comes from your heart. So the Bible, all over the place, prioritizes our hearts as the ultimate place of trouble and the place to look when we're trying to change. So I think the most helpful thing is to say, what is the experience of being depressed and anxious, and what does that have to do with my heart?